This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's talk about the Holy Father, Pope Francis. What was the main message of Pope Francis at his Wednesday General Audience this morning, which I see again was held outdoors at St. Peter's Square?
Yes, and in fact, just it was really perfect timing because we did get quite a deluge of rain, but it started just after the audience finished. So today, Pope Francis continued to speak about virtues. He transitioned from discussing the cardinal virtues to reflecting on the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And he began the audience by looking to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and speaking about the definition of theological virtues as the foundation of Christian moral activity, which animate it and give it its special character and inform and give life to all the moral virtues. Now, he said that the theological virtues are infused by God. And of course, they are infused into the souls of the faithful, and they are the pledge of the Holy Spirit's presence and action in human beings' faculties. He went on to say that the greatest gift of the theological virtues is the existence lived in the Holy Spirit, which means that a Christian is never alone, that with the theological virtues, the Spirit is there. And he said that Christians then do good, not because of a huge, he called it a titanic effort of personal commitment, but instead because they walk as humble disciples behind the Master Jesus Christ. And he went on to say that the theological virtues are the great antidote of self-sufficiency. So in other words, the idea that when one feels like it all comes from himself, the virtues are a reminder that it's only through the grace of the Holy Spirit. And also, he went on to say that when with the graces of the Holy Spirit, one can indeed discover that God will soften their hardened hearts. And if you would like to invite the Holy Spirit in, he said, simply stop, say a prayer, and ask for the special infusion of the Spirit. And finally, he finished the audience today saying, calling for peace, especially in various war-torn areas of the world. He mentioned specifically Myanmar, he mentioned Ukraine, he mentioned Israel and Palestine, and continued with his a phrase that we've heard many times from him during the audiences, that in war, no one wins. And he asked for prayers for peace throughout the world, John.
Well, that is so needed because there's just way too much war going on. And this is week in and week out. The Holy Father is plugged in and he's asking for us to continue to pray for peace. And now we're not just talking about the wars far away, you know, in Ukraine and in the Middle East, but also the wars that have erupted on the college campuses right here in this country with what's happening with all this anti-Semitism. It's just absolutely unbelievable.
Yes. And, it brings to mind a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Peace, which is inside of the Church of St. Mary Major here in Rome. She has her arms out, bringing in all the children of the world, calling us all to live together in peace. And so we pray that that day will come.
Absolutely. We always ask for the intercession of the Queen of Peace, which is our Blessed Mother. Well, there's a big event coming up this Saturday, April 27th, the Day of Grandparents and Grandchildren with Pope Francis. They're expecting a nice crowd there at the Paul VI Center. Tell us about this event.
Indeed. Well, the Press Office of the Holy See has announced that in collaboration with what's called the Italian Old Age Association, they're going to put on an event and it's called A Caress and a Smile. And 6,000 grandparents and grandchildren will be in attendance. There will be a reflection on the beauty, on the importance of old age. Now, Archbishop Paglia at the Vatican said that Italy has the second highest number of elderly people in the world, and that often today people are afraid to use the word old, that it seems to have a negative connotation. And so he said that old age is a very beautiful time. And more than that, it can mean a really important change in direction for the important times of life. And he noted that the special affection that Pope Francis has had for the elderly, has had for older people, and pointed out the catechetical series that Pope Francis dedicated to the elderly. You may remember me reporting on that a couple of years ago, where he spoke about how to live the last 30 years of life in a Christian way. So this particular event is meant to bring together grandparents and grandchildren, multiple generations, and in the words of Archbishop Paglia, generations that cannot live without each other. And after listening to this reflection about the importance and the beauty of old age, indeed, as you mentioned, John, Pope Francis will enter into the Paul VI Hall. And there will also be testimony of two grandparents, including one who's a 91-year-old woman, as well as three grandchildren. So it's going to be a lovely day to remember and to celebrate the elderly.
And there's no doubt the Holy Father, Pope Francis, can relate to all those elderly people, because he himself is 87 years old and obviously has had to deal with some physical limitations in recent years.
That's right. He certainly has. And it seems as though his special catechesis that he did a couple of years ago focusing on the elderly was really written in a lot of ways out of his own experiences, and reminding people of the importance of looking at the elderly as our guides for their wisdom, and also the importance of that time of life being a time of special prayer, that this can be a time to focus on prayer like no other time in life.
And the Holy Father himself actually established the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. And this year, I believe it's going to be celebrated in July, July 28th.
That's right, exactly. And it's always on the Sunday closest to the feast of Saints Anne and Joachim, the grandparents of Jesus himself.
Well, speaking about celebrations, Rome and Italy, it seems like they're always celebrating. They are in full celebration mode here during this Easter season.
You are so right, John. There is so much happening, so much to celebrate these days. Well, first of all, I have to tell you that Rome just celebrated its 2,777th birthday. And so this just happened on the 21st of April. Every year there is a grand celebration with all kinds of historical reenactments. They reenact ancient Roman rituals, gladiator fights, etc. And everybody waits for the big parade. More than 1,700 people participated this year, and many of whom traveled from across Europe to take part. They dressed as Roman soldiers and centurions and Vestal virgins and on and on. And it's really quite a fun and exciting time every year. And on that day, also, the beautiful Rose Garden of Rome opened officially, as showing off there's 1,200 different varieties of ancient and modern roses. And one of the sections is reserved specifically for a very prestigious international contest. It's called the Premio Roma, where the most beautiful rose in the capital city of Rome will be chosen. And then another side of town, another exciting event that was going on that very day is the Dies Natalis phenomenon that occurs at the Pantheon. So it's a spectacular event that every year on that date, on the date of the founding of Rome, April 21st, you probably recall that the roof of the Pantheon, there it's open. There is an oculus. It means an eye. And so that circular area is wide open. It means when we just got some rain this morning, it rained right inside of the Pantheon. Well, on April 21st, every year at noon, the sun enters through the oculus and creates this disc, this perfect disc of light that centers perfectly on the entrance, on the doorway of the Pantheon. So traditionally, at that exact moment, the emperor would enter into, when it was a pagan temple, and his body, of course, would be just bathed in this golden sunlight. And so, of course, people went and experienced that as well on the 21st of April. So lots of interesting celebrations on that day alone.
So an auguri is in order for the city of Rome.
Wow, you are exactly right. So auguri means best wishes. And so we wish Rome tanti auguri, lots of happy wishes.
Meanwhile, tomorrow on the 25th of April, there'll be yet another celebration.
You're right. Yes, in fact, we're celebrating the Festa della Liberazione. This is our liberation festival, and it marks the country's liberation from Germany occupation and from fascist rule after World War II. So it is a public holiday here. So that means that state schools and offices are closed, and in reality, everybody's taking Friday off too. They call it a ponte, a bridge, so that they get a nice long weekend. And our mayor every year has marked this special feast by visiting the Historic Museum of Liberation in Rome. Now, this was actually a former SS prison, and it documents the persecution of Jews and resistance figures who were tortured in that very spot during the Nazi occupation of Rome. Now that happened, the Nazis occupied Rome from 1943 to 1944. And then also our president, Sergio Mattarella, he will go to the altar of the country, which is right there in Piazza Venezia, right at the monument of King Victor Emmanuel II, and he will lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier there to remember and to give thanks for liberation.
And we also have a very special birthday coming up.
Oh, I know what you're thinking of, John. It's the birthday of Nutella. Exactly. So everybody loves the famous chocolate Nutella, and it's actually turning 60 this month, believe it or not. So this is that famous chocolate hazelnut spread, and it's been around, you know, for these six decades, made by the Ferrero company. And what happened was that about 60 years ago, Mr. Ferrero founded a little pastry shop in Alba in northern Italy. But there was a cocoa shortage because of the war. And so he instead responded by creating a sweet paste. He made it from hazelnuts. He used sugar and then a small quantity of cocoa. And this little concoction that he made was called gianduja. And it was originally sold as a solid block, but then was modified into that spreadable Nutella that people know and love. And it's been hugely popular since then. It's sold in 170 countries around the world. And the company sells about a million tons of Nutella every year, if you can believe it.
I can believe it. And yet, one last celebration, which actually happened yesterday, the Feast of St. Adalbert.
Yes, in fact, you know, St. Albert of Prague is also renowned here as well in Italy. And in fact, his remains, or some of his remains, are here at the Church of St. Bartholomew, which also contains the remains of Bartholomew the Apostle. And in fact, as we speak, John, we have a group of Polish young adults who are with my husband John and me for a week as we do a Truth and Beauty Project immersion with them to help them go deep into faith and set their faith on fire. And we had Mass right there at the tomb of St. Adalbert yesterday. And it was such a great gift because his remains, he died in 997. His remains have been in Rome since 998, so just a year after he died, when the Holy Roman Emperor Otto III built the Church of St. Bartholomew to honor him. So what a gift to be able to celebrate the Holy Mass there. And so another great saint to call on and say, St. Adalbert of Prague, pray for us.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.